begin a new sugya. It seems like we've been talking about the magic number Shishim for so long. It's almost the first day of Shia. We spoke about what the role of Shishim is, and when you flush Shishim, I mean, the Minos, the Rices, there was so much of them thrown around about the magic number Shishim. And now we finally get to the Gemara, which actually tries to pinpoint where that magic number comes from. So the Gemara has what at first glance is a very, very strange limud. The Gemara connects the idea of Bittul B'Shishim to a Poskei of Chumash in Parshas Nos of all places, in the Parsha of Nazir. Nazir, what's that with Nazir? So comes the Gemara and introduces us the following, that actually the magic number Shishim wasn't even agreed upon by everybody. There was an equally valid number called 100. Where did that come from? So the Gemara says, well, wherever Shishim came from, that's where May came from also. It's all the same source. It's all the same Makwa. It's all the same Sugya. But the Gemara begins on the bottom of Tzadik Chesem and Aleph. But the Gemara quotes the Machlekes Amoraim, which is two different versions of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Comes the Gemara and says, two lines to the bottom, Shneil Lamdu al Nizroa B'Sheila. Everybody agrees that the magic number, either Shishim or Mea, comes from the Psuch of Nizroa B'Sheila. What is the Nizroa B'Sheila? The Chesiv Alokach HaKain is Nizroa B'Sheila B'Goyme. The Torah is describing the Karbonus of a Nazir, when a Nazir finishes the days of Yom Zeros, so he has to bring a whole series of Karbonos, and only then, after that, he becomes no longer a Nazir. So one of the Karbonos that the Nazir brings is the El Nazir. It's basically a Karbon Shlomim. It's a little bit of a funny Karbon Shlomim. Anyone know why? What's funny about it? It's a little bit different than your average Karbon Shlomim in a few different ways. Anyone know? Anyone knows? It's eaten for less amount of time. A toldo v'il nozer kadoshim kalim shkalos v'chom v'chom bazar v'dam atan shtem atashnav v'cholim v'chol yichom liyom v'layla al chatzos. Unlike regular shlom are classic kachim kalim. So shlomim are shnei yomim v'layla chatz. If I bring a korban shlomim today, so I can eat it today, I can eat it tonight, and I can eat it until tomorrow until shkia. Shnei yom v'layla chatz. There are a few kinds of kashim kalim that are a little bit different. So one of the kashim kalim that are a little bit different is an el nozer. So the el nozer is only nechol liyom v'layla. So min ha-Torah, you can eat it. Let's say a guy would bring an el nozer today. He could eat it all day today. He could eat it all night tonight. Midarais until tomorrow morning. Until the shachar. And midirabanim, he has to eat it before chatzos because el hakis on the dinaveir. That's the first mishnah of the second bracha. Good thing everyone's been saying ezmer kovim for the last 20 years. Okay, good. All right. So Kashim Kalim, except for that quirk that the Zman Achila is a little bit less, the other regular rules, the regular leniencies of Kashim Kalim apply. So say, for example, what are some of the other leniencies of Kashim Kalim? Kashim Kalim have the Kashim don't have. So you can eat all of Yerushalayim, unlike Kashim that have to be in the Fnim and Akloim, that they have to be in the Daf and the Azara. What's another important cooler that Kashim Kalim have, the Kashim don't have? Who can eat that? Right? You have to be Tor, but you don't have to be Dafka Kohen. So Kashim El Nazir is basically a Kashim Kalim and has the cool of Nechal Yisrael. But now all of a sudden the Torah says that part of the Kashim Kalim are unique and they're actually given to the Kohen. And there's an Isser for the Yisrael to eat it. What is given to the Kohen? So the truth is, all Kashim Kalim, most Kashim Kalim, Shlomo, most of part of them given to the Kohen. What's given to the Kohen? Tocham Keva is by Chulin. So what's the... What part of the Kashim Kalim, say, I bring a Korban Shlomo, which part goes to the Kohen? The Chaz V'Shok, okay? So the Chaz V'Shok, the breast part of the animal, the Shok, the leg part of the animal, so that goes to the Kohen. It's not really Kachim Kachim in the fertile sense of the word. Why? Because it can be eaten, B'chol Yushalayim, and it can be eaten by female Kohanim, by wives of Kohanim, the wives of Kohanim, but it's also to a Yisrael. The Yizar is not allowed to eat those things. So a regular shlomim has certain parts of it that are designated, that are assumed lazarim, that are given to the Kohen. And El Nazir has all that plus something else. What else does the El Nazir have? It has the Zroah. That the Zroah, one of the arms of the arm of the Korban, is given to the Kohen. And it's eaten by the Kohen Dafka, by the Kohen and his family, but it cannot be eaten by Yisroel. For Yisroel to eat the Zroah would be an Issadir Aisa. So, okay, good, very nice. What's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. When the Torah describes the giving of the Zeruah, so it describes the Zeruah as first being the Spashel, together with the what? The together with the rest of the Ayil. L'kacha Kohen, as a Zeruah b'sheilah, mina Ayil. So the Kohen takes the Zeruah b'sheilah, with the Zeruah that was cooked in the same pot at the same time together with the rest of the animal, and he gives that to the kohen. So again, somebody was just standing in the base of Mikdash watching this. So imagine this would be, as we say so many times, the chassid of Misnagid, learning this again, watching this play out. So the chassid's standing there, what does he see? He sees a Nazir Kaddish year. He's just entered into the realms of Kedusha. Now he's exiting that world of Kedusha. And he's offering a korban and the ancient, the seir, and Nazir Tachas Zevach HaShlomim. And he's watching his Myridik and the clay is getting his chelik. He's talking, Mamish, the tzaitzis of Al Kedusha, Vatar, everything. He's got Mamish, it's just beyond. It's mind boggling. He becomes a chassid, a neo chassid, old chassid, all chassid, all chassid rolled into one. And he's watching this Gevaldik of Kedusha Vatar. And then this is a Shivish guy in the back, a Litvish guy, a Stagdish guy, you know, and he's looking at this whole story. He pounds on the table, what does he say? The meat that's sitting in that pot, it's got a Bli of Isser in it. What a party pooper. What's the Bli of Isser? The Zeroa is Osir to a Yisrael that's been cooked with Asachas with the rest of the meat. And the same Torah says, Rav Sheila also tells you that the Israel have to eat the rest of the meat. How could the Israel eat the meat? The Israel is eating tarfus. What's the difference? Whether there's the Zeroa that's in there, which is also Asa B'Yachila, or if it's a Chaz that's in there, isn't this a clear-cut violation of Masechus Chul? Isn't this a violation of Yerdei HaLegal? So the Chosid saw Kedusha, and the Mestagit saw an Isser. It's an Isser Gom, it's a Deraisa of eating tarfus. That's the caption. Now, between you and me, we're not going to let the Yisrael eat the Zeroa. What are we going to do with that Zeroa? We're going to give the Zeroa to the Kohen. But what is there? Oy, oy, oy. It's not real. There's nothing real. It's not eating the end. We're not being mouthed to Yisrael to eat the end of the Zeroa. But we are letting him eat the Belias of the Zeroa. And doesn't that pose a problem? So the answer to that question is clearly not. Obviously, Rabban Shalom voted against you. Rabban Shalom said that's okay. By giving us this parashah in the Torah, by drawing this illustration to us from the Zeroa B'Sheila, the Torah is obviously putting its arms around us and saying, don't worry guys, it's okay. This is not a violation of Tarfus. Why is it not a violation of Tarfus? It must be why. There's only one way to explain it. There is Belias here. There's heat here. There's fire here. This is Belias galore. There must be that something must be taking place here. What must be taking place here? It must be that the Belias are a bottle. It must be. Torah is describing a picture of bittul. So, obviously, this meets the criteria of bittul. What criteria are there? What is the criteria? So now comes the Gemara, gives the whole story of Tari Chesed Beis. The different people did different experiments. Different people took aisles and zeroas and went to the lab and wanted to figure out, gee, what is the ratio? What are the proportions? How much ayil is there to any given zeroa that we can declare, oh, b'chi agav, if you meet these numbers, it must be this is enough for bittul in the halacha. It must be that Torah sanctioned this bittul. What are the numbers? What's the magic number? How can two people do the same experiment with two different numbers? What's the answer? They're running two different experiments. Because how much of Isser is really here? So this is a fundamental question, which is really actually the next sugya. When I have a zeroa, how much of Zeroa is treif? What do you mean how much of Zeroa is treif? What's the answer? Who saw the head a little bit in the Gemara? So do we only take into consideration the basar of the Zeroa? Or do we also take into consideration the atzamos of the Zeroa? So on the one hand, the atzamos are part of the Zeroa, so it's kodesh l'shem, it's basar l'shem. On the other hand, it's not really meat, it's just etzem. Maybe the atzamos are not really royal achila, and they don't have a shem isser on them, and maybe they're not part of the chesed. But because of that discrepancy, if you measure the atzamos, you're going to come up with one number. If you measure the basar, you're going to come up with a totally different number. That was the background to the machlokes, the two versions of what Rabbi Shimon Levi said, is the magic number shishim is the magic number meah. Everybody agrees there's a magic number here. Everybody agrees that the Torah is telling you something mechudesh here about bittul. The Torah is giving you a number for bittul. We're just not quite sure what the number is. Is the number Shishim, or is the number Meya, depending on your cheshbin of Atzamos and not Atzamos. So that, the details of that are going to be discussed, hopefully, in the next sugya, about why you should or should not count Atzamos, and some of the obvious questions. If you're counting Atzamos, there's a intrinsic problem. Why? Because if you count Atzamos of Isser, then you should also what? Count Atzamos of Heter. And if you don't count Atzamos of Isser, then you shouldn't count the tumas of hetter. So you're probably going to end up, when you change the numbers of the, what's it called, the
ratio.
The numerator and denominator, something like that. You change those numbers, so what do you end up with? You start with the exact same ratio. Shishma is a ratio. So why in the world should it make the slightest bit of difference whether you count the tumas or don't count the tumas? To be determined in the next video. Okay, so don't even think about it. I mean, you can think about it if you want, but don't even ask that cash. You know, don't get bogged down that cash. You probably all couldn't sleep with that cash, right? Nobody? Who cares? Who here was like bothered with this cash? It was eating away, right? Good. I believe it was eating away at you. It was eating away at Rashi also, and it was eating away at the Shamli and the Rash and the Rosh and everybody before and after. So hopefully, you know, Ban, we'll try to come up with four or five different answers to that cash in the next sugi, but don't think about that now. But everybody agrees that this is the Mokka. This is the source for Bittul. Now, there is an almost like basic unsaid question in this Gemara. The Gemara say, whatever you think the magic number is, Zeppin for no, that's the Shia Bittul. Because after all, the Torah is describing it. This is Mutter. Zeppin for no, this is the Shia Bittul. What's this? There's almost like the Havel. I can't even think of it. There's like an elephant in the room here. There's like a question steering us. Like, it's like an unsaid question.
What was the jump?
Elephant or what? What would you jump with?
Say, how did you go from saying it's mutter to now shishim or a hundred?
Well, we know the Torah is describing something, but the Torah would not be describing a dover also. Would the Torah would be depicting a scenario that's also? You agree to that?
Yeah, it's talking about something mutter.
Right, so it's talking about something. Okay. So, there's no reason why it should be mutter, because there is treifus here.
And this is talking about when.
So the answer is, it must be that the Torah is assuming bittul took place. So we go to the lab, it's a Torah mutter, we're trying to solve a Torah problem, so we go to the lab, we do our experiment, and we come up with the magic number shishim, or the magic number, whatever number you think the number is, and we say, aha, this is the shia bittul. There is a question that is so obvious here. If you would try to pull this off in court, what would they say to you, Mr. Alter?
The number 60 or 100 is sufficient, how do we know it's necessary?
Oh! All we know is that if you have 60 or 100, you're okay. But it could be that you're also okay if you have what? If you have 5, if you have 10, if you have 40, if you have 15, I don't know. All we've learned is that you can't tell me that the number is 125. Or if you think that the number is really shishim, if you think the lab, the science comes out to shishim, you can't tell me that the real number is 80. That would be unfair, because then that would be depicting the situation of Isser. So you know for a fact, you've proven to me that it can't be, you can't require more than shishim, but you have no way of knowing from the psukim itself that shishim is really necessary. Maybe less than shishim, but have also been mutter. So why does the Torah describe shishim? That's when the Rosh Hashanah created an island as well. It happens to be that the ratio is shishim. So the Chorah, you don't see anything from the Zroa Isle scenario as to what the minimum share is. You see that you can't make it a maximum share, in fact. It could be, maybe it's less. So somehow Chazal agree with it. Some of that piece of information doesn't enter onto the radar screen. Now the Torah is depicting a story, and the Torah is giving it a Shia. I'll then remember, this is the Shia. That's Kachas Evelach, but this is the Shia. So what is the Shia? So depending on what you think about bones, if you're a children guy, not a children guy, either you're a 60 man or a 100 man. And that's the flow of the entire circuit. So there are two radically different approaches in the Rishonim, how to learn the ABCs of this sugya. Taisus takes one look at this sugya and says the sugya can't be serious. The Gemara cannot, I don't mean not serious, Chazal are very serious, but what a Chazal not saying, what is it not, says Taisus? Well, give me one word that it's not. It's not a deraisa tikka sugya. Notwithstanding the fact that the Gemara is putting sukkim, and the Gemara is taking the numbers very seriously, and Drav Hashem is a poskim chomish, and we're having drushes, is it atzamas, not atzamas, and everyone's in the lab figuring out, and we're meticulously measuring, so it tells us, forget about this being deraisa. There's no way there's anything deraisa going on in the sugya. How did Tosus know there's nothing deraisa possibly going on in the sugya? Tosus is very simple. What is shishim all about? Let's go back to the world of Tosus from yesterday. What does Tosus think that Shishim really means? Min HaTorah. Shishim is a way of Bittul Tam. That's all there is. There ain't no more. The fact that in your day, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says back on Daf Tzadi Zayin, there happens to be a din of shishim by min b'mino, that is only according to Tosfos for one reason alone. Why is shishim necessary by min b'mino according to Tosfos? Come on, give me the real reason why. Because why? There's no time. Why? It's a gezeir otam min b'sheinu b'mino. Remember, didn't I tell you that the first day? See, guys, I have to tell you what I shared with the chavrusa today during Seder. You know, I saw there's a lot of confusion on people's faces in the last 2 weeks. Why? Because I spent September, October, November building up all these yesaitis for you and telling you this is the yesait and this is the emes, and you never heard of any of this stuff anyway. So whatever I told you, you're makabel, right? It's not like, you know, you heard these things, you learned this for the last 20 years. Now the Rebbe is coming and telling you something off the wall. So whatever I'm telling you, it's like I'm telling you a nursery. These are the ABCs. This is everything. So everyone licked in their cup for the last 3 months. This is Tom Kikur, and this is Bittul Verov, and this is Chatich Mastavela, and this is Derais, and that. And then all of a sudden, the last 2 weeks, if you've noticed, everything, it started with Urayim already. That's when the world changed. All of a sudden, Urayim turned around and said, no, the Mastavela is not really Derais. It's all Derabana, especially Rabbi Shmuchalov, right? That was the first, big disappointment for people. And then I started to tell you that Shishim is really a requirement of Torah. It's not really a Gezeira. And every truth that I built up for 3 months, I just destroyed in front of your very eyes. You guys don't know what to believe anymore. So let me tell you what the theory is, okay? The theory, if someone put the graph this problem, the theory is that the first couple of weeks, I wanted to tell you what the bottom line is. You have to understand the principle. If I would have thrown at you on August 15th, that the Sefer Yerayim, so your Girsa the Ankasa would have been, you would have thought that that's the Emma, that's what Chetich HaNasavela is all about. And when you're 45 and somebody, and your key comes home from Yeshiva and wants to talk about Chetich HaNasavela, you would tell them the Sefer Yerayim, and you would think that's the conventional wisdom. And the kid never heard of it, the Sefer Yerayim. So I wanted to make sure that you understood what the basic Yesodis were, Aliba the bottom line, but the Oilam HaKazok. Whichever oilam is left in this world that learns these sugyas, so the oilam is off. This is machtich nasvel. This is tam kikah. This is kishim. This is the gezeir d'raya. So I want you to understand the basics. Once you are mature enough to understand the basics, the way they probably are true according to most conventional wisdom, so then we laid things up a little bit. And I said, oh, by the way, remember machtich nasvel? Yeah, well, Sefer Yerayim had a whole different version of what's going on. Oh, and by the way, remember bittul b'shishim? Oh, it's nothing like you ever thought it was. So I don't mean to say that everything I told you before was Shekhar V'Chazav. I told you regular, and now we're exploring. Now we're getting older, we're maturing a little bit, and we're branching out. That's the goal. Whether it's happening or not, I have no idea. But that's supposed to be happening. Okay. At the end of the year, there's going to be one big paradis. One big mitzvah. No, you know anything anymore. Baruch Hashem. Okay, good. Move on to the Pesach Mishnah. Okay. So if I say that kind of story. So Tosis is looking at this sugya, because the Bali of Tosis, in most sugyas, Bali of Tosis are conventional wisdom. If you think about it, most of the time, partially because they have a big room on the page. So Bali of Tosis are really representative of the regular mahalacha of the sugya. We now usually think of the regular mahalacha of the sugya. We're mushba by Tosis' reading of the sugya, and most of the Rishonim, the Rosh, and then the later Rishonim, the Rabban, the Rashba, very often are mushba by the Bali of Tosis. So Tosis is the basic mahalach, the starting point of the sugya is that shishim is basically just a birur that there's no tam, and therefore any discussion of shishim by min b'mino is automatically relegated to the realm of the rabbanon, as gzeiros, like the Rav said. To talk about shishim by min b'mino on a level of deraisa is absurd, because min b'mino doesn't have the basic ABCs. What's the basic ABCs? There's no tam. There's no tam that's nikkur. There's nothing to talk about. So what's shaykh to talk about shishim when there's no tam on a level of deraisa? So for this reason, Tosfos throws their hands up and says, "Love the Rosh Hashanah. L'melech bin al inyan b'mishen amino." Which would, if that would be true, says Tosfos, if we're wrong and this sugya is really deraisa, then tam kikah would be deraisa. And Tosfos says that can't be. How does Tosfos know behind the lines, behind the scenes, that nobody can argue with us, says Tosfos? You can't really tell me that. Shishim is really deraisa. First of all, we're talking about mibimino, and second of all, the Gemara has loads of places where it raises the question: what's the mocha for tam kikah deraisa? What does the Gemara say? How many different makaris does the Gemara have for tam kikah deraisa? Some successful and some unsuccessful. Bas Mechalov, that kind of flopped, right? Bas Mechalov was an aborted attempt by Abai and Dafkav Ches. What were some other possibilities? Right, Gilei Nachrim, maybe. Successful, not sure. What was the other one? What? Mishras Anovim. prestigious thing that two out of the two major Yesodis in Chulin Yerodea find their roots in Parshas Nazir, just in case you're interested. The din of Sivah B'Shelah and the din of Mishros, some strange reason, both appear in Nazir. So, comes to us and says, there's no way this sugya is deraisa. This is not on the list of Makaris Satan Kikur, and quite frankly, the plus is not even talking about Mimshin Amino. So what's Shachtav Shishim deraisa? So what is going on in that sugya? So the Taisa is not there with that sugya is. These numbers of Shishim and Meir were known by tradition. And this is all Asmachtas Bihama. That's all there is right now. All that's meant by the magic numbers of Shishim and Meir, as appear in the Parshas Rav Shela, are pure Asmachta Bihama. They're not real. This sugya is not a derasitika sugya. What do you think Tosfos meant with that phrase? It's an asmach to be amo. What do you think that means? So what do you mean asmach to be amo? So why is the Gemara quoting psukim if it's only derabbanan? So what does that mean when the Gemara quotes? If something is derabbanan, why are you quoting a pasuk for? So what does that mean? What's the goal of quoting a pasuk if it's only a derabbanan? Why are you misleading me to tell me a pasuk? So Yadua, there's a famous Machlokes Rambam in the Ritva as to what does the Gemara mean when it says Midirabban across Machta Bi'alma. So the Ritva, very, very strong, very, very harsh lashon. The Ritva in the first part of the Sefer Shana writes that Midirabban across Machta Bi'alma means that this din was instituted as a chiyuv by the Chachamim, but the Rabban Shalom very much wants you to do it. It's just that it's not a what? It's not a tzivi ha-tayr, it's a what? It's a rotzer Hashem not being tzivir Hashem. We spoke about this many, many times. Rav Chanan, publicized this. Ritva, Ritva, Rav Shana, Daf Tazayin. Anyone remember the context of Ritva said it in? The original context? The Malchus, the Chorus, and Shofus. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, you have to say Malchus, the Chorus, and Shofus. So the Ritva follows the Ramban that the recitation of the Pesukim of Davi, Musaf, and Rav Shana is not a deraisa. No, the Gemara quotes a derabbanan b'feirish. So what does the Gemara mean quoting Pesukim? What does that mean? It means the Rebbe Shalom would very much want you to talk about Kishoy, but he's not telling you to do it. It's not a tzibah, it's not Kishoy. So if you have a toss-up, as the Rebbe says, between going to hear shofar or saying psukim, what does the Gemara say? Which is more important? The shofar is more important. The shofar is the tzibah Hashem. The davening Musaf is the Ratzon Hashem. So tzibah outweighs a Ratzon. But to say that davening Musaf Rosh Hashanah is just that there are bottom the almana, it's not like Neiris Chanukah. Much more than Eretz Chanukah, not like the Eretz. It's much, much more than just the regular Derabbanan. It's an Asmachta, and it's the Ratzon Hashem, albeit not the Tzivei Hashem. It's famous far from the Ritva. And the Ritva has very, very harsh criticism of anyone who would say Fakir. The Ritva says anyone who's going to tell me that Asmachta is just there as a mnemonic device, just to help me remember the din, but it doesn't really mean anything. So the Ritva says you can't say such a thing. It's impossible to say such a thing. Of course, who says such a thing? The Rambam Pesach Mishnah is the Tosfos Mishnah said that. So when Tosfos over here invokes the model and says the numbers of Shishim are Asmach the Biyama, what do you think Tosfos meant with that? You think they meant the Ritvos? Asmach the Biyama. The Torah is telling you what to do here. The Torah is telling you it's a really good thing. It's a kiyum hamitzvah to throw some chazer into your pot and make sure it's bottom of Shishim. It's a joke. The Torah is not telling you what to do here. The Pesukim are not telling you what to do. There's no Ratzon Hashem in this Pesuk. When Tosfos says that it's Asmach Tiviyama, they most probably mean who's Asmach Tiviyama? The Rambam. I mean, it's just a nice way of remembering it. Imagine when you get the Parshas Noso every year, and you get to Laning, and you say, it's a good, long truck. You have a chance to have it. So what's supposed to be happening? This is what's supposed to be going through your mind. The fact that it's the longest parsha in the Chumash, and the Bat Mitzvah boy is laning it at a half a mile an hour, and it's ready 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he made 400 mistakes already. That somehow, but everyone's quelling this. It's beautiful. and the rabbi's going nuts because the grandmother's screaming at the rabbi. Why is he correcting the Bat Mitzvah boy already? What's the difference whether he said mid daber or mid daber? It's all the same thing. What's the difference? It's a different word. Nobody understood that. Okay, but I just know something. Okay. Did you say midaber or midaber? Midaber. Okay. Okay. Remember, you can show up for us afterwards if you want. Okay. And you're at your own time. So, as those moments are being uttered in Kriyas HaTorah, what's a real Ben Torah supposed to be thinking? What's Ben Torah supposed to be thinking? I'm supposed to ask myself this question. It's very fast. You got to think of this all really, really quickly. That, wait a second, hold the phone, stop. You're a day going on. This is Roa, that's strife, because it's also Lazarim, it's being mixed into the pot. How is that happening? Oh, wait, what do you have to think? At that same moment, you have to think, oh, I remember the lab, remember the guys with the white coats. Oh, Shishim. And the guy next to you says, oh, Shishim was Meya, and you're finding it out, it's all the pot. And what do you do when you get to this pasuk? What does it finally remind you of? Ah, the dinner of Shishim. I'll never forget Shishim and Meya for the rest of my life, because it's always there, it's looked in, it's Rabbi Shalom. That's how you're supposed to lay. That's what Torah says. It says Mach to be out. It doesn't really mean anything. The Rebbe Shem never had any of this in mind. The Torah never meant any of this stuff. These are all shiurim that are pi Kabbalah. What does that pi Kabbalah mean? It doesn't mean it. So what does it mean? It means that tradition for the Rebbeim, what these numbers were. And where did the Rebbeim get it from? Where did the numbers really come from? They came from where? Where? From the lab. They learned the Kabbalah in the lab. They figured it out. Somebody, some great rabbi at some point in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and onwards, between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody did the math and they came out with Shishim, and the other person did the math and came out with 100. Why were they having a machlokes? Some were adding the bones, some were subtracting the bones. So each one was right according to their assessment, but these numbers have nothing to do with the Rabbi Shela. Absolutely nothing to do with Rabbi Shela. The real numbers have to do with Shishim versus 100. That's it. So what do they have to do with bones and no bones? What's the answer? Nothing. Nothing to do with bones. Bones is also that's not. It's all a joke. One person thought that Shishim is enough to be certain that there's no Tam, and the other one thought that 100 is certain to be there's no Tam. How can you have a discrepancy? How can you have a machlokes? What's the answer? It's not so easy to finish out of this. This is a tough one. Everyone agrees there may be certain foods out there that are very, 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 very sharp, but you may give one Tam even slightly more than Shishim. It's hard to always know this. So different Amoraim have different traditions as to where do you draw that line in the sand. But does it have anything really to do with bones? What's the answer? No. Anything to do with Nazir? No. Anything to do with Pashat Naso? Absolutely. If you want to give me a mitzvah drasha about Tom Kikar in this Pash, I would say it's wrong. It's an aspach. It's not what the book is talking about. Talk about the Shibu mitzvah. Yeah, don't feel bad. My mitzvah Pash is Shlach. I did not give some deep razzle-dazzle drasha about Tzitzit and Challah or Mekosha Shaitim. I also talk about thank you everybody for coming to my bar mitzvah. And, okay, sure. I'm back downstairs. So this is Tosfos' entire Mahalach and Sugya. Everything that's seen about Tosfos Dirabah. And it makes perfect sense within Tosfos' general scheme of things in this Sugya. However, not with the same with Tosfos writes. Rashi seems to disagree. I say seems because it's not a befeirush Rashi. It's the way Rashi presents parts of the sugya that tend to lead us to believe that Rashi argues with this Tosfos. What did Rashi tell you in the sugya? So Rashi gets almost very, very defensive when the sugya starts off b'shishim. Rashi starts telling you the very big flavings Rabbi Shelley even entered out of the scene. Rashi says b'shishim. So first of all, Rashi told like if Alek Chiddush had the Badik Nevelo of Taima, that was already a Chiddush. And then Rashi says, you know, it is possible that you have Shishim and you may be in for a very, very unpleasant surprise that the rabbi at Kapaskin that it's Mutter, you went ahead and served it for lunch, and what does one of the guests say? When the Baal Tshuva says, hey, I know Chaz, I can taste Chaz when I taste it. There's some Chaz in here. What's the din? It's all so you have to throw it out. How did Rashi know that? Rashi dug up a Gemara later on in the Tzadi test. I don't want to look up that Gemara. It's a complicated Gemara. I put too much that Gemara on, so I think guys got lost in that Gemara a little bit. But there's a Gemara in the Tzadi test that Rashi extracted from that Gemara. If it tastes, it's done. It's finished. Your history, you got to throw it out. So Rashi says, why do you have to throw it out? Why is that so necessary? So listen to what Rashi says. Rashi says, two lines at the bottom, Rashi says, a few lochi, Rabbanan Achmor the Amor, time of Avotil. Who do we have to blame for this din? They have to throw out the pot of food? It's got shishim, Rabbi. Why am I throwing it out? Who is responsible for throwing it out? Rabbanan achmor v'omer time alabotim. That the rabbi said, it just, we can't let you eat this food. It has common, it just can't be. We have to throw it out. Midir Rabbanan is a chumim midir Rabbanan, we have to throw it out. Rashi had a rye from something, that's the Mishnah, a deal from a Mishnah and Trumas, you have to throw it out. So we're not arguing about it, but Rashi felt compelled to throw in a piece of information, Rabbanan achmor. What is the implication of this Rashi? That until Rashi said those magic words, Rabbanan achmor, what did we think halacha? Where did we think halacha came from? Right. From the Rebbe Shalom. Everything is started. Everything is deraisa. Don't prove another one. So if I tell you that the Rabban instituted an Eretz Chaim, okay. But Shabbos was instituted by the Rebbe Shalom. The Rabban instituted Mikras Megaliyah, but Pesach was instituted by the Rebbe Shalom. So if Rashi feels compelled at the end, the last tail end of the sukkah, to fill in and say, by the way, Rabban Achmor, the implication is that everything until that point was mamash deraisa. What was it until that point? What did we need? What did we have to accomplish before we could be mounted out of the suit? Shishim. It sounds like shishim is a real bona fide din deraisa. And what would the mock-up for that be? What's the answer? What? Throw a shim. If I go, it's throw a shim. Gee, throw a shim. Isn't that my deal? Who's the one who makes this deal? Who's the one that I'm getting? What?
Samson.
So besides for Regis Rashi, is reading the Rashi, Chassam Sofer read every line of every Gemara, every Rashi, every Rishon, as Medayek, Mamash, the Chol Koichoi, every nuance, every Kutzah Shoyut. Chassam Sofer read this line, Rashi says, you know, if Rashi woke up at the end of the Sugya to inform us that we have a Derabon on our hands, the implication was until then, everything was Derabon. Again, what is Rashi talking about? Rashi's talking about a Tarobas, it is Tam here. So Rashi's talking about a Tarobas of what? A min b'she'e no mino, right? A min b'mino, there's no time to talk about. So Rashi says the fact that you have a cover of a min b'she'e no mino and you can still taste it even post-shishim, that's rabbanan achmor, that's a chumash rabbanan. But the initial requirement of shishim was needed mid-deraisa. Derived from where? From Zerah b'she'e, which is very, very odd. Very, very strange. Why is this so strange? Rashi just made up a din deraisa that there was a requirement of shishim. Again, Rashi is clearly talking about mishim mina. He's talking about tam. So shishim b'min mishim mina is the deraisa. Rashi took the gemara face value, not smach, does he have face value? And the source for this entire thing was what? Was Rav b'sheila. What do you want from Rashi? Rashi just read the gemara. Before Rashi's grandchild, the Balei Taisus, took the Gemara and tossed it out, that's a smach to be out, don't get too nervous about it. Rashi read the Gemara Kipshuta, that it's a deraisa. What do you want from Rashi? What's the problem? It's Pilei Plon, this Rashi. What's Pilei Plon? How in the world could Zerah B'Sheila be the source for Mimshir Amino if Zerah B'Sheila itself is what? It's Mim B'Amino. Who here realized that question, right? That was ultimately why Taisus rejected this whole shot. But what Tosis rejected is the middle of the Peshit, it's so obvious what Tosis said. Rashi said, no. Kachazah, that's the way it is. So both Rashi and Tosis have a lot of explaining to do. Rashi has to explain how in the world did we jump from a Taravis in the Torah of Mimbimino and use that as a model for Mimbimino, a Pilei Ploim, according to Rashi. And the Balei Tosis have a lot of explaining to do. What's their explaining to do? We have a blot here for Gemara that's spending time about bones and meat and maiseloch. That what? That doesn't really mean anything. The whole thing is a smach to them. The real determinations are made in the lab. There's nothing to do with Pashas Nosa. It's very, very bizarre. The Gemara would spend the whole sugya discussing the infancy of Zerah B'Sheila. It's all a smach. So it's a very, very difficult thesis, but we appreciate why Taisus said it. We can understand what prompted Taisus to do these acrobatics and to say that the Gemara doesn't really mean it because the kasha that's facing Rashi is so powerful. But Lemaisa, somehow Rashi was more comfortable with not acrobatic around the Gemara, and somehow he's going to live with this kasha. We don't know what the answer is yet, but he's going to live with this kasha. So this is Rashi's flow of the sermons. Rav B'Sheila, Shishim, Mishrinah, Derais, everything. There's a huge, huge problem with this, Rashi. Forget about the textual problem. Forget about the Yafusa. There's a huge, huge problem with this, Rashi. You're going to tell me, with a straight face, that when you have a Tarevis of Minbish Enamino, not even the case of the Chumash itself, but Rashi's extrapolation, Minbish Enamino requires Shishim Midda Araisa? Really? Can you say that with a straight face? I can only say that with a straight face if I subscribe to what? To Tam Tikva being Daraisa. If you're going to tell me that Tam Tikva doesn't exist with Daraisa, why do you need Shishim for? To do what? What is the goal of Shishim? Shishim is there to make sure there's no Tam, right? Isn't that what Shishim is? Don't answer that. Isn't that what Shishim is? Didn't some Rebbe of yours 3 months ago brainwash you that that's what Shishim is all about? So now you're going to tell me a story like this. You're going to tell me that the requirement of Shishim by Dibbe Shemin is a deraisa because Rashi took the Gemara at face value. You're going to say, oh no, but by the way, Tam Tikva is only derabbanan. That's absurd. That is absolutely ridiculous. So you know who says that's ridiculous? The Maharik. The Maharik. The Rebbe is Maharik was like the end of the period of the Rishayim. But right before the Shulchan Aruch's time. So Maharik is a tshuva. I didn't put it on the Maharik comments today. Okay, you should have assumed that we'll look up the Maharik. So the Maharik says that when Rashi made this statement, the Maharik also predated the Chassam Sofer by a couple hundred years. He also chapped that Rashi's talking deraisa here. There's no question Rashi means deraisa. If not, Rashi would have said Amar Rabban at the end of the Sugya. So the Maharik also understood that Rashi means deraisa. Says the Maharik, shows his hands up and says, you know, Rashi must have meant that Shishim by Mimish Enamina's deraisa, the magic number is really truly derived from Rabbi Sheila. According to whom? According to those opinions of the Gemara, that Tam Tikva is deraisa. That's a little hard to swallow. You know why? Because who's the Rishon, the most prominent Rishon of all Rishon who happens to hold the Tam Tikva is not deraisa? Rashi himself. Now, truth to be told, Rashi doesn't discover that reality until Daf Tzadik Ches. So Rashi himself is not committing himself on the beginning of the Sugya of Daf Tzadik Ches. We actually turn the page. The hope for the page is about 2 months to turn this page, because I mean, we'll turn the page and just sit on the next page for the next 6 weeks. This is a very, very long Sugya, but this is going to take us well into February, by saying. I mean, okay, we have a 6 week break in the middle, but I'm saying this will take us theoretically into February. So we know, because you know, we read the end of the story, so we know Rashi. I already brainwashed you at the beginning. I told you Rashi Shita happens to be the Tam Tikva is only Derabbanan. But we have no way of knowing that at this point. So the Maharik is saying, listen, Rashi is learning this sugya that all these Amoraim must be working within the framework of Tam Tikva is deraisa. Not so wild. There are Amoraim hold that way. There are Tanoim hold that way. Maybe we don't pass it that way, but there are Tana, Abaye, maybe Rabbi Akiva. We have Tanoim hold Tam Tikva is deraisa. So comes the Maharik and says, there's no way to explain Rashi in any other way. So Rashi is limiting himself. Yes, it's deraisa, but only if you accept Tam Tikva. It would be inconceivable logically to talk about the number Shishim and not subscribe to Tam Tikva deraisa. New Rabbi say, why do you think the Maharik held that way? Why do you think the Maharik couldn't budge from that kasha? Because the Maharik thought like who? How was the Maharik's worldview of Shishim? He had what? He had conventional wisdom, right? That Shishim really only makes sense as a bittul of Tam. And therefore, if you're not concerned about Tam, so why do you have to be bothered with Tam for? So the Maharik was stuck in a corner because he came to Shia the first week and he was convinced that the only role of Shishim in a Torah is only the bittul of Tam. So if you hold Tam Tikva is deraisa, so Zayin you need Shishim. If you hold Tam Tikva is not deraisa, then what's Shach talk about Shishim? And therefore, he stuck Rashi into a corner and said, "Rashi, this sugya is low-cal law according to Rashi." You know, who sees the wheels turning, Rabbi Yisrael? Who sees how this sugya is now building on the last sugya? We have very, very strong reason to believe what? That Shishim is Ashir Bittul. It's Ashir. It's Ashir Bittul. And just coincidentally, who led the march and the charge teaching us that's a Shir Bittul? Who remembers? Who was responsible for last sugya? Rashi. Because remember, Rashi stuck another word or two. Every word of Rashi. Rashi didn't waste his ink on anything. Every word of Rashi. Because Rashi in last sugya taught us what? What did Rashi tell us in last sugya? What little minuscule piece of information did Rashi tell us? That even though the guy tasted it, it's still Nishishim. So Tosa screamed, what did Nishishim for? Says Tosa, don't we all know that Shishim is just Levat Masatam? What did Rashi respond? In 3 days worth of Shir? No, it's not. It's a Shir Bittul. Whether it's a Mordechai, one Mordechai, two Mordechai, three Mordechai, that was, you know, that was, hopefully you guys enjoyed it, but that's not the thrust of Rashi right now. But what's Yaitzim in Advarim, that from the Tchimas of Sugya, Tapsari Chesnaf, i.e. last Sugya, Rashi is the one who already paved the way for us this idea that Shishim is not just Bitlatam. It's also Bitlatam. Don't ignore it's Bitlatam also. That we already proved also. But it's first and foremost a Shir. So if that's the case, then Rashi on the end of the Sugya, name of today's Sugya, can say something that the Maharik thought was unspeakable, was incomprehensible. What is that? Catch this one. Tam Kikar is what? It's Midir Rabbanan. But what? But what? But?
Ashir.
But Shishim is what? Is the Arisa. Everyone think about that? Would you have said, if I would have told you that in September, you would have said I'm crazy. Because in September I told you that. First you have to paskin that Tom Kikar is the Arisa. Because convention was September with Maharik speaking. But now we're back coming to say no. It took us Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to realize that there's another side of the coin to Shishim, which is Rashi Sheet himself, Lashitasa. And once you say that Shishim is the Araisa, is a Shir, it's an independent Shir mit Araisa, derived from Rabbi Shela, and has absolutely nothing to do with Bittul Tam, because Bittul Tam itself is not even a Din Araisa altogether. Who chapped this when you read the Sugya? Who realized saw this coming? You connected. Who connected this Rashi? Who chap the connection to the two Rashis? Who here realized that each Rashi was saying? Who here realized the first Rashi in the last 3 days? Right? I convinced you that Rashi also shared. And now you saw this Rashi over here. The Rashi says Amar Rabbanan, which led you to believe everything else was there. I said before, and who chap that? What? So if you chap both of these Rashis, then you have to chap that both these Rashis are saying the same thing. The role of Shittasai. That was the contribution of the Chassam Sefer. That was the punchline of the Sugya, according to Chassam Sefer. Or at least the first of the punchlines. That Shir Shishma is Deraisa in the absence of Tam Kikar being Deraisa. Who's mulling it over, thinking about it, adjusting it a little bit. Yeah.
If Tam Kikar is only Derabbanan, then why do we need Shishim on a Deraisa level?
Shir Bittul!
But we don't need it to be Bittul.
Bittul! Bittul!
We don't need it to become Bittul.
Bittul!
There's no Isser here.
Bittul. Thank you.
Will this not work for the Rashba that we brought?
Wait. We haven't even begun to discuss with the other show that's there. We just will get Rashi. Just Rashi, that Yainu. So, we have this Shitas Rashi that we're very comfortable with Rashi saying that Shishim is the Araisa. By a Mindishen Amino, because that is what Rashi is talking about. I, the source of Sun Zobashel, we have no idea how to navigate that bridge between Mimbimino and Mimishen. We have no idea what the answer to that question is, not yet at least, but we're taking Rashi at face value. We're having a major machloikis Maharik and Chassam Sofer as to what Rashi said. Maharik says it's all fine and dandy if Tam Kikar is their eyes. According to Chassam Sofer, it's even true. Tam Kikar is Derabbanan, which is fits in nicely. Rashi, the Shittas, actually passes underneath the Zera. Let's go to the next level, Rabbi. Say, let's bring a Raya. Whose shot is more correct within Rashi? We have the information a page already to potentially be Machoriyah within Maharik and Chassam Sofer. Rashi told us something. Every word of Rashi you have to read. We already read the Rashi. Rashi described the following phenomena. A little bit of chaza fell into my potato soup. He ran to the rabbi. He put on his chef's hat, or he pulled out the goy's chef's hat, and they tested it. Went to the lab. The paskin, it's mutter shisha. They serve it for lunch, and the guest says, "Bacon tastes like chaza to me." What did Rashi say? What do you got to do with that soup? Throw it down the drain. Really? Who said you have to throw it down the drain? Moshe Rabbeinu? Amar Rabbanan. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Rabbanan, but that's not... Amar Rabbanan means, yes, the Kaima said you have to throw it down the drain. Somewhere in Chazal, somewhere between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Rashi, some days in Haggadah sat down the Mishnah Haggadah and said, you know what? Even though the Shishim And then I'll tell you, we solve the world's problems. But the Rabbanim, we still have to reckon with this problem. Can you explain to me why this is the Rabbanim? Why is this not the Araisa? Had Rashi know certain things? Amar Rabbanim, time of the bottle. What's the Rabbanim? Was not the Torah itself? Why not the Torah itself? No? Explain to me, what's going on? According to who is that hunky-dory? Who does this read like a charm, this Rashi? It's beautiful. Some stuff is Kabbalah, right? According to Chassam Sofer, I couldn't care less what it is time here in that Torah. If I asked Meshur Abeinu, he would say, what? Like you just said, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. I never heard of Tam Kikar. Give me a mark of a Tam Kikar, Bas B'chalav. Forget it, Tzachir. You are nothing, forget it. Lost your time. Nazir, come on, give me a break. That's not a bad. There's no mark of a Tam Kikar. Three strikes and you're out. There's no Tam Kikar. Ayin Rashid, that's Tzadichav. There's no Tam Kikar. Ela, what? Is the Chiddush HaTayr that you need Bittu B'Shishim to be a Shiur? You have the Shiur. So I have Shishim. So I passed the test of the Shiur in HaTayrah. I was yet to read the Pesukim of Zerubbabel Shem with the Raisa. Ela, what? Now it tastes? So what? Now it tastes. Tam Kikar doesn't exist in HaTayrah. But it does exist, what? Even Rashi agrees, Tam Kikar exists, what? How do I know that? Well, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you have a little bit of Nevela thrown in, so what do you have to do? Take it out. And hey, what's the rest? What? Rashi doesn't ignore the Maisa Tam Kikar. Of course Tam Kikar exists. Midrabanan exists, not Midaraisa. So that's exactly what Rashi says. The Chassam Sofer reads like beautiful, reads like a charm. That if there's no Shishim, then you have a Deraisa sticker problem on your hands. If you have Shishim, all you have is Tam, then you have a Derabanan problem. And that's why the Rabbanan, Tam will abort you. But, no, push it back on my side. According to the Maharik, that Gittul B'Shishim is a Deraisa, and it's a way of being Mishaya. Remember, the Maharik was from the conventional wisdom people from September, that Shishim is not a Shir. Bittul is, a Shishim is just a way of determining whether you have Tam or not. Haraya, the whole time because they're abundant, Shishim is not Deraisa. It can't be. It's about the Maharik wouldn't budge on that point. So according to the Maharik, I don't understand why Amar Rabban. What should it be? Amar who? Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amr Ribbono Shel Amr HaTayra. Amr HaChamana. If it tastes, it tastes. If you're already committing yourself to Tam Kikar D'Oraisa, what's Amr Ribbono? No one was bothered with that kasha. As soon as you heard me quote the Maharik, and you heard me commit the Maharik, committing Rashi to D'Oraisa Tam Kikar, you should have screamed at me and said, what's Amr Ribbono? What's the answer? But here's the Akasha, but you already know the answer to Akasha. We talked about it last week.
Tam Kolosh?
It's got to be Tam Kolosh. This is reminiscent of who? This is? It's right out of the playbook of who? This is Birmingham talking. This is the world, this is not the rough talking from last week. It's Birmingham talking. That Shishim is just plain and simple beer that there is Tam or no Tam. Once you have Shishim, then you know you have no Tam. I, Rabbi, it tastes. Oh, that's not a real taste. That's not a deraisa ticket taste. That's a derabonic ticket taste. Because it's a Tam Kolosh. Tam Kolosh doesn't register me deraisa. I, Rabbi, it tastes like a kavalika bacon. You don't know what you told me. That's not Tam. That's not a deraisa ticket shiur Tam. That's a derabonic ticket problem. Omer Rabban in time of Lobotil. That's a radically different way of reading this Rashi. So again, even within the world of Omer Rabban in Lobotil, you could read the Omer Rabban in Lobotil, the Maharit's version. The Tam Kikar is deraisa, but this is not a Tam deraisa. We can read Amar Rabbanu Lobotil within the worldview of the Chassam Sofer that you don't even have to reckon with Tam. Tam is not the issue. The real issue is the Namar Shishim. The Shia Bittul. Shia Bittul is over, finished. That was the idea already. Whatever remnant of Tam is, that's only Rabbanu Lobotil. But Tam Kikar was never deraisa anyway. Two very, very different ways of reading the Rashi. Everyone with us? Everyone got it? Yeah. No? Almost. Who here is following us? At least Rove at the time. Okay. But I say we have a big, big problem. This is just a huge problem. No matter how you slice it, we have a huge, huge problem. What is the biggest problem on this board right now within the world of Rashi? There is the biggest, biggest problem.
He's using Mim Mino for Mim Shem.
How in the world did he cross this bridge? You want to hold like Tosfos? No, everything's through our bottom, the whole thing is just not stopped around, nothing really matters. I'm good with that. I don't understand what Chazal spoke about it for a block, but I'm good with that. Mavatal daiti to the Haley Nadasa of Alatasis. But according to Rashi, who refused to take that way out and took the Gemara Kipshuto, no matter how you slice it, but took the Gemara Kipshuto, how in the world you cross that leap of faith? This is not an illustrious astronaut said. This is a giant step for mankind. This is unbelievable. This is like you walk from here to the moon in one shot. You're talking a different ball game. You're in a different universe. Torah's talking Mibimino, and you're talking Mibishenomino. How'd that happen?
It's not about Tom, and then it's
the Lechora. So Lechora, who's going to get the upper hand on this one, Rabbi Say? Who's going to get the upper hand on this one? Shimon started to answer. He had a 50-50 chance. He voted for the wrong person. There is an unbelievable kasha in the sugya. How dare you make that leap of faith? How dare you jump from the world, the Mimimino of the Pasuk, the Mimshayamino that you want to talk about? According to the Maharik, it is incomprehensible, that jump. Why? Because according to the Maharik, the Shishim D'Araisa of Mimshayamino is an issue of time. There ain't no time in Mimimino. No matter how you slide, no matter what you do to this meat, there's no time. It's the same text. You're never going to... No one in this world will ever be able to say, hey, I'm eating this ILG by God, I taste some dro in here. That's like tasting shredded the chicken. Super kosher, it doesn't taste. There's no discernible time that doesn't register as a taste buds. But according to some sort of this one, we have a chance. What's the chance, according to some sort of this? What's our last possible hope, according to some sort of this? According to some sort of this, the requirement of Shishim, even by Minbish Enomino, was not really linked to what? And then Guta. It was a Shia Bittel. Who sees where we're going? We're about to go off the cliff. What are we about to say? Guess what? Once you're talking not the language of Tav, about the Shia Bittel, guess what? The Shia Bittel could be equally true by Minbimino also. Once you tell me the magic number Shishim is not in the layout to try to figure out whether Yeh Tam or Nishtam, once you're already committing yourself to this idea of Shir Bittel of less sugya, once you believe the Chasam Sofer is correct, Tam King is there abundant, there's still a requirement to Shir Bittel, that Shir Bittel could equally be true by Min Bamino and Min Shenimino, and you could actually derive one from another. The Torah is talking about Min Bamino, but we are extrapolating to Min Shenimino. And I'm going to put something else on the board that's going to be shocking. She should be Mimish Enomino Deraisa. You won't believe what I'm about to write. Who knows what the next word is going to be? She should be what? And not only are these two statements true, but this is actually the source for the first one. Because the Torah itself is not talking about Mishra Bina. I'm sorry to tell you, but Yisroel B'Sheila is Mibbimina. Says the Chasam Sofer, I know that. But that's true, but irrelevant. Whether it's Mibbimina or Mibbimina, once you're not talking the language of Tam, completely Malav Lameirid, what it is. It's a Shia Bittel, and therefore the Shia Bittel can be extrapolated from Mibbimina to Mibbimina, and Shishi was required with their eyes. Now, I should see not one hand up, I should see 35 hands up. On this statement. So I'm sorry for that's the end. According to Rashi, that's the din. That is the din. I know what you guys are going to ask me, and that's not what I want to hear. So I'll let you ask me anyway. What you ask me?
Doesn't Rashi
open? Good, exactly what I didn't want to hear. Perfect. Okay. I don't know that yet. I didn't read Pesachim yet. I never read Pesachim yet. I don't know that yet. You guys are too smart. That's the problem. I told you everything in the first few months. So. No? Mabaya. Tell me a problem, Bessie. Give me a problem. Give me a huge problem.
It's a source.
Someone's getting done with a straight face. You need Shishim, a Min Bamino, Min Da Araisa.
How do you measure that?
These down, those are not cash, they're a little sleep. What?
Why is that an issue?
It sounds great. That's the altar saying great. He said, you have no problems. You have no qualms.
Oh, you're like,
what? Because you guys are Lady Pashas Noso. And you're so Orion Gatun and Pashas Noso. and you're reading his Rabbi Sheila, not like Tosfos Das Machbis, the real Makor, you tell the Bakari, stop, Mamash, stop, because you got to think of Deraisa, you got to be more careful. So you're reading Parshas Noach, so you have Deraisa here, and you walk away with the conclusion, the sheer bitul mid Deraisa of Min Bimino is Shishim. And then somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, you forgot something. What did you forget? What did you forget, Parshas? You forgot Parshas Mishpatim. What are you talking about, Rabbi Sobolovsky? How can you even put this on a board and not be embarrassed to write Shishim B'Mimimino's Deraisa? Who are you joking? Then what happened to the Deraisa Nerayv? These are Gemaras in the Sechis. Get the favorite Gemaras. Yaduam first, the Mechol HaTorah, all of Shas. All right, it's twice maybe. The ABCs of the ABCs of Yeridaya. Min Bimino is what? It's Barayim, but the Rai Sechab Shrei Botel. Who are you kidding? That's the kasha you should be screaming out. What is the Chassam Sofer talking about? How are you talking about Kazer? How can you say such a thing? See, you guys are asking the what about kasha. I know your kasha. Say, by the way, Rabbi Rashi happens to hold, like who? Like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Min Bimino happens to pass, just by golly, by coincidentally, pass like Rabbi Yehuda, who learns out from Dama Par and Dama Sawyer. So, gee, Rashi doesn't fit with Shitasa. Okay, this is not Rabbi Yehuda talking. I'm not going to lose sleep over that kasha. But putting inside Rabbi Yehuda out of the equation, conventional basic wisdom is what? What's basic wisdom? That rove. You never heard of Ramahatis Gemara in Gittin Fifteh, Ramahatis, the Raisa, Chabitre Boto. Notice it's fascinating because all the clone of Yeridaya, all this, as in everything we're learning this year, not one of the psukim has the slightest thing to do with those kashas. One is a pasuk by Beis Din, one is a pasuk by Zerubbabel Shela by Nozir, one is a pasuk by Dava Par and Dava Sar and Yom Kippur. You have to mamish have a Zaruch HaKaidish of Chazal to see, because Teres Shem Tumim, she was Nafish. Kol HaTerah Kul is Chad. You have to see different Terah. Nibim Makabach V'ashim Makamachia. We're going to learn that you say that how you say this, that a governing Allah Sukkis in Hukkot HaRoivis, not one of them has the slightest bit of connection to anything in Parshas Kashrus in the Terah. Now, you have to really, you have to understand Terah. You have to understand Terah. You have to understand Kol HaTerah Kula. So you got to know Zerubbabel Shela, you got to know Lachat HaRapah, you got to know Ramahatis. But at the end of the day, Ramahatis, you have to deal with that. You're going to tell me Chorav Lahatz is not the Mokhav Bittul Baroi? Everybody knows that. We even touched it up by giving his chat. Let's just to remind me. Who explained how it works? How does Chorav Lahatz meet? How does it teach us Bittul Baroi? Reb Chaim, it's a Reb Chaim, it's a kash. How could anyone say otherwise? Reb Chaim, what gives us Bittul Baroi? Chaim didn't say it. Chaim just said Pshat in the Gemara. What's the Chassam Sofer talking about? What is this Rashi talking about according to Chassam Sofer? We understand, we appreciate what prompted the Chassam Sofer to say this, because otherwise Rashi's flippant comment that min b'she'eno mina b'shishim is deraisa as a sheer bittul is really nice, but it doesn't make any sense because we don't know where it came from, because the makor in the Torah is min b'mino. So we understand, we appreciate the pain of the Chassam Sofer, why he had to say this, but quite frankly, it's against all of Shas. So who realized this right away on the spot? Chassam Sofer himself. He knew this, I think. Can you realize this? And what does he write? He says, yup. Acharei Mahatos is true. And Zerubbabel Shela was true. They're both true. This is eerily reminiscent of yesterday. There are two shiurim of Bittul in Halacha. One is rooted in Rov, one is rooted in Shishim. How do you know which one to use when? How do you know which one to use when? They're both the Araisa by Min Bimino. So I'm sorry for believes the Abuna Shleim that this is Emes Lamita, according to Rashi. According to Tosis, this is completely not true. According to Rashi, this is absolute Emes Lamita. That's Rashi. How in the world would you know someone comes to you with a Shaila, Rabbi, which Shia Bittul do I use? What's the answer? If you're very, very religious, if you're right wing, so then you go for the highest shishim, were much more stricter. Have you a little more light, orthodox light, that kind of, then you go for Rov. I mean, come on, what's the answer? How do you know which is which? So you got to go back to the drawing board, back to the cases, go to Beis Din, and go to Zerah B'Sheila and ask yourselves, what are the characteristics of one that end up resulting in Shishim? And what are the characteristics in the other that end up resulting in Mil Viro? So now you have to put two things on the board. You have to look at, these are the two things you have to look at. Two Beis Din, okay? You have three Dayanim, that's one case. And from here we derive the Din of Rov, and then give you another one. We have to do an aisle. Here's the leg, the head probably, okay? Here's the Zerah B'Sheila, that's all sitting in the same pot together. And this is the Mocha for Shishim. So I start to ask myself, how do I know which characteristic to focus on? What characteristics are relevant and what are irrelevant? So let's take it through. Three Dayanim versus an aisle. Are they the same? Not exactly. So maybe I think like this. One's based on Mikdash or one's not. Is that an important factor? Not too important. Okay. One's dealing with somebody with very long hair because he's an Oz, and one's talking about guys with long beards. Because they're not very important either. So one's in Pasha Shmos, one's in Pasha Bamidbos. Depends whether it's in the spring or the winter. Unlikely that should make much of a difference. Can anybody tell what the difference is?
Yeah,
what's the difference? This is Bibibino, this is Bibibino. They're both Bibibino. This is the Bokha for Shishim, Rashi, some such, but that's Rashi. What's the difference?
By the Dayanim, they're three independent.
Yeah, what are they? Give me a halachic term. What are they?
They're three different opinions.
And what, in contrast to Zerah B'Sheila,
which is
what?
Which is one animal that's coming together. It's one thing.
I thought you were telling me. Close.
Everything's cooked together.
Give me halachic terminology. You know the terminology already. You're just not seeing it. You're looking at a Beis Din and you're not realizing what to call it in halacha. Look at a Beis Din to the eyes of your day. What is it? What kind of tarevis is it? It's a yavish b'yavish. They're three dry rabbis. Three dry rabbis. They are not spreading their time in one to another. Zerah B'Sheila is what? Things are oozing around. They're mixing in. There's intermingling of fluids. That's a lach malachi kind of a taraybis. Says Chassam Sofer, what's the answer? No, give me an answer, no? Give me an answer. When you're passing a yavish b'yavish shayla, what's the shir deraisa? Who's going to tell him what's the shir deraisa? Rav. When you're passing a lach balach shayla, what's the shir deraisa? Shishim. Can someone explain to me a rationale for this? It's just because the cost doesn't call it a day? Give me a rationale for it. Give me a rationale. I don't want to hear the word Tom. That's the last thing I want to hear. First of all, it's Mimimino, and Rashi never heard of Tom. So that's the last thing I want to hear. Give me a rationale. Well, the shear is hiked up. And therefore, there's real Isser here. Any and every piece you take is real Isser here. So what Zach just told me is an unbelievable thing. In the hierarchy of Tarevisin, which is a better Tarevisin? Which is more mutter? What did you just say? Yavish. Yavish is more mutter than lach balach, right? That's what you just said. Because lach balach has that terrible downside that the Isser is oozing around. Yavish b'yavish, each rabbi on his own. Is that something that sits well with us? If this is the picture Chassam Sofer is painting for us, everybody said, that there are two parshas min haTorah. This is all Rashi again. Tosis b'shir the whole week. The whole week Tosis was out. Because the first sugya, they didn't gerus b'chlal. Since they weren't gerus the first sugya, they're not gerus the second sugya. The second sugya is building on the first sugya. It's all b'das Rashi, that there's a shir bittel. There are two different shir bittel. What the Chassam Sofer just added for us is that there are two shir bittel b'min b'mina. That we didn't chop, but it had to be that way, because otherwise the bridge was, we would have fell into the ocean. So we trust the Chassam Sofer. We're back in Pressburg. See, in Pressburg in the 1800s, we trust the Chassam Sofer in this one. And the Chassam Sofer has presented to us the discrepancy of Pesukim, and the answer is you're right, the two different halachas. And by the way, when does the Gemara always use the phrase the Raisa Chad Betray Batil? What does the Gemara happen to be talking about? Every time the Gemara uses it that, happens to talk about Yavish B'Yavish. Not just happens to be, that's it. Because that's the only case that they're icy. Yosh B'yom, Chad B'trei. Bittel B'roiv, Chad B'trei Bottel, by Nin B'mina only applies to Yavish B'yavish. Balach B'lach is a different Shia. The Shia is Shishim. Midrash had nothing to do with Tam. Tam Kikah doesn't exist and there's no Tam. It's Min B'mina. It's a Shia Bittel derived from Zerah B'Shela that is limited to Lach B'lach. But Zach just told me something that I'm not comfortable with. He just told me that, yeah, Yavish B'yavish is more prone to Bittel. It's more subject to Bittel. Because after all, you don't even know you have an Issa here. I mean, you know you have an Issa, but there's no Issa that's spread Lagamre. So we can almost like quarter off the Issa a little bit. Who knows some halachas that don't seem to fit in that? We've already spoken about that earlier in the year. We've put up on a pedestal, which is a greater Bittel, which is more Mutter, which is less Mutter. Lach B'lach, Yavish B'yavish. Who remembers? Ramah Pesach said the exact opposite of what Zach just told me 5 minutes ago. Ramah said, Chayze v'neyer! By Yavish, yeah. Oh, by Lach Nish. You know why? Catch this one for a backwards svar. Why is Lach B'lach better? Because the Yisra is clearly gone. By Yavish, it's still there. Those two things I just said are what? They contradict you to one another. How do you view the relationship between Yavish and Yavish and Lach B'lach? Which is a better heter? Which is more prone to heter? It depends which part you're focusing on. If you're focusing on the fact that the Yisra is still under B'm Kaimai, so that's a more of a reason to be Yasser, or do I say no? The fact that the Yisra is on B'm Komo, that's more of a reason to be Mutter. I'm getting contradictory messages from Halacha. But that's Zach's pshat, and he's right. There's a chsam sefer gezocht. These are the two parashas of Bittel. This is it. This is Yavish B'Yavish. This is Lach B'Lach. These are two dinim d'oraisa, nothing to do with Tam. And the chsam sefer just introduced us the concept that Shishim B'min B'mino is d'oraisa, at least according to Rashi. There's a lot to think about.
Aren't the svaras still the same? Just that we're getting different results, by the way. We're looking
at it. Yeah. It means I'm looking at the same thing, we're coming with different results. Right. So, Rabbi Sai, I want to think a little bit about what Rashi just said, what some stuff claims Rashi just said, and mull this over in your minds a little bit overnight. Hopefully, we'll become Tom of Gam in the next 24 hours. And you'll try to figure out, is this really true? Is this really tenable position? Shishim Amin B'Mino is the Raisa? Can you test this against everything you know? Is there anything staring you in the face that questions this? Is there anything staring you in the face that may be supporting this? You know enough already about certain sugyas to be able to think this through a little bit. Is this a tenable position or not? Do other Rishonim buy into this? Anybody buy into this? Some stuff, if Mamash made this up, doesn't nobody accept this? We have a lot of work still to do, but we've got to the kernel of the sugya. Is this big, humongous breakthrough of the Chassam Sofer within Shitas Rashi, which again, as you see, is building on last sugya. We saw it coming already from last sugya, now it's reaching fruition in the sugya. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll start to clear against that.